From WHQR Public Media in Wilmington, North Carolina, this is Coastline. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn. The city of Wilmington reported overall historic crime lows last year. Crimes in Wilmington's central business district, the downtown area, which used to have, according to Wilmington Police Chief Ralph Evangelist, a pretty bad reputation, crimes there have dropped since 2002 by about 75%. Despite fewer robberies, larcenies, burglaries, and arson, however, violent crimes are ticking up. At a January meeting of the City Council, Chief Evangelist reported the highest number of homicides during his tenure. He attributes that rise in part to gang-related activity, fatal assaults, and non-criminal self-defense. But we still have too much violence, and aggravated assaults are still too high, he says. Law enforcement officials in the Cape Fear region beyond Wilmington are working to address this on a number of fronts, including by building rapport and relationships within communities. As we'll hear today, authorities consider citizens one of the most important elements of crime prevention, and today we're going to learn why. We'll also learn about what a special training program to deal with an active shooter can teach us, among other programs for citizens. With us today, Deputy Sheriff First Sergeant Billy Montjoy of the Support Services Division for the New Hanover County Sheriff's Office. He specializes in crime awareness and prevention. First Sergeant Billy Montjoy, welcome to Coastline.
Thank you so much for having me.
Also with us today, First Sergeant T.K. Nowell, who works on the Brunswick County Sheriff's Office Impact Team. Sergeant Nowell, welcome to Coastline.
Pleasure to be here.
And you've also brought along Deputy Boulder with you today.
Yes, ma'am.
And maybe we'll say hello to Deputy Boulder a little later in the program.
Okay.
He'll bark, just so folks know what we're talking about. And Ed Pompey is a civilian crime prevention specialist in the Wilmington Police Department. Welcome, Ed Pompey.
Thank you for having me.
And we're inviting you to join the conversation. What would you like to know about preventing crime in your neighborhood or your workplace? Have you participated in local law enforcement trainings or programs? If so, tell us about your experience. Do you have a neighborhood community watch? You can call us on this Thursday at 910-343-1138 or email us today at coastline@whqr.org. Ed Pompey of the WPD, explain to us why law enforcement officials consider citizens such an important part of the crime prevention and reduction equation.
Well, citizens are aware of what's going on in their actual communities. They see things, whether it's major or minor. If you see something suspicious, a guy walking around who doesn't belong there, kids who don't belong there, abandoned vehicles, garages left up, any and everything that you feel is unsafe or just, you know, just being that nosy neighbor, just be able to explain it to us so we can combat that issue. And then that allows us to build the rapport with our citizens.
And we're going to get into some of those tips in just a few minutes. But first, Sergeant Nowell, what are the crimes that you see trending in Brunswick County? What are people most concerned about right now?
Right now, our detectives are battling the crimes of just property crimes at construction sites. Construction is very large in our county right now, and they're seeing a lot of trailers, construction trailers, broken into or stolen, and a lot of their equipment they don't have their serial numbers or have that stuff documented, so recovering that property is a little bit more difficult. And it seems that is correlated with, you know, opioid use.
And how do you correlate that with opioid use?
A lot of times they'll steal the materials and they'll take it to sell to other people to have money to buy their drugs.
First Sergeant Montjoy, New Hanover County Sheriff's Office partners with WPD, but is the crime picture different in the unincorporated parts of the county, or do the trends tend to follow Wilmington?
I kind of have to agree with Sergeant Noel. Property crimes are pretty regular. I like to tell people whenever we go out and speak at public events, no matter where you're at in the county, whether you're in the county, whether you're in the city, whether you're in Brunswick County, there's crime everywhere, unfortunately. You can run the crime report for 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue in Washington, D.C., and there's going to be something. You know, unless we build these 18-foot walls with the razor wire on the top of it and you got the moat with the sharks in it, we're not going to be unfortunately, you know, crime free. So just taking steps and preventing it. Just like First Sergeant said, you know, you want to document your serial numbers in case the items ever are stolen. That way the hopes of recovering as well as getting it reported correctly go up tremendously.
Ed Pompey of the Wilmington PD, what kinds of people are most likely to be the victims of violent crime?
I'll say that, you know, victims of crime, that can be any and everyone. It's not a particular person, but what I will say about violent crimes is that they can happen any and everywhere. It's not a specific time, date, time of the morning, afternoon, night. It can happen to any and everyone. It can happen to me if I walk out this door right now. So it's not a particular person. It all depends on, you know, the crime that, you know, the violent crime that happens at that time, or, you know, just any and every time, any and everywhere, it can happen to anyone. So, yeah.
So then we all need to learn, what can we do to lower our chances of being the victim of a violent crime?
Just, you know, just be aware of your surroundings, you know, just try to be a little bit more careful. Don't go into any dark areas. Don't make yourselves a target. If you're getting out of your car late at night and you see a group of people that make you feel a little uneasy, just kind of remain in your vehicle until, you know, they either go away or be on the phone with someone, or if you have a loved one or you're married, just, you know, contact them. Hey, can you come outside? Or, you know, you can always call law enforcement if you feel, you know, just uneasy about the situation. You know, give us a call. Hey, I see some guys out here, a group of guys, they're not familiar. I'm not familiar with them, or they don't live in this neighborhood. You know, just contact us, and yeah, just don't put yourselves in any sticky situations.
First Sergeant Nowell, you talked about property crimes being a big issue in Brunswick County right now, possibly fueled by the opioid epidemic. What are some things that average citizens can do who live in some of these new neighborhoods that are popping up to possibly cut down on the likelihood that they're a victim of a neighborhood crime?
Don't make your property or where you live, your residence, an easy target or something that somebody would want to target because of the way that it looks. Do you have shrubs that are overgrown? Do you have large bushes around the corners where you enter and exit the residence?
Now tell us why that matters.
Concealment. Somebody can conceal themselves if they want to peep inside of your windows, and they can absolutely sit themselves between the bush and the side of the house, and nobody can see them driving by. If you're entering and exiting your home, you've got your hands full of stuff. You don't want to have those large bushes and stuff around your entryways in case somebody is there to attack you, so you don't make yourself an easy target. And also document all your stuff that you have in your home, anything that's of value, serial numbers, makes, models. That way, in case something does happen, that you have that stuff documented. Making sure you install those deadbolt locks, not making it easy access. And one of the primary things is we have a lot of our garages attached to our homes now, and people want to leave that door that goes in from the garage inside the home unlocked. And that's another easy way for people to get inside the home. They may be right on the lawnmower in the backyard, and they have that easy access into the home if they wanted to.
And so if the garage door is closed, though, mm-hmm. the outer garage door is closed, then...
That's good.
Okay.
And you still need to lock that interior door.
Why?
Why? We don't want to... Make it hard for the criminals. Make it hard. And you don't want to be have that opportunity for them to get in. Make it harder for them.
First Sergeant Montoy, what are some of the other ideas that people who want to protect themselves from property crime in their neighborhoods, what might they do?
Crime prevention itself is not rocket science. By leaving a light on at night, I don't know if you guys are aware of this or you saw it on the news this morning, breaking news, CNN, Fox News, all the stations had it. Most criminals don't want to be caught. I think we can all agree with that. Most criminals don't want to be caught. So like First Sergeant said, make it a hard a target as possible. She mentioned the garage doors, locking the interior door of the garage, locking your car doors. So many property crimes occur with people just leaving their car doors unlocked. And they say, well, I don't want them to break the window. Most of the time in the neighborhood, they don't want to break the window because why? What's going to happen? Pompey mentioned the nosy neighbor. The nosy neighbor is going to look out the window. They're going to pick up the phone. They're going to call 911. And then what is the bad guy going to do? He's either going to stay there and get caught, or he's going to have to leave the area and then find somewhere else to go.
Ed Pompey with the WPD.
And another thing, just to bounce off First Sergeant Anowell and First Sergeant Montjoy. Just make sure when you're documenting all your information, contact your local agencies, whether it be Brunswick or it's New Hanover County or WPD about our, you know, handouts that we provide for your merchandise. Make sure you have it. It has a serial number, a tab line. It has a the name of the actual make and model, the value of it, or request increased patrolling from local law enforcement agencies, whether it's WPD, Brunswick County, or New Hanover County Sheriff's Office. Yep, just contact us about that increased patrolling, or if you're having a community event, you know, request for law enforcement to be there so that you have that presence from law enforcement. So if you're always in the area, criminals not going to come in that area. So, yeah, I see law enforcement over here a lot. So, yeah, just continue to make things a lot harder for them.
First Sergeant Nowell.
One of the programs that we offer, we do free residential security surveys. So we will come out to the residents and assess the property inside and out and make suggestions for the homeowner to have risk reduction strategies provided to them so they don't become a target.
So you've talked specifically about keeping outer doors locked and keeping the garage door closed and keeping a light on outside the house overnight and trimming shrubs so there aren't places that potential criminals can hide. But are there other things inside the home that you might tell a homeowner, you know, if you did this, it would really up your security level?
Timers on your interior lights if you're out of town, solid core doors. If you have side pane glass on your doors, you know, try to install two-way or double cylinder locks or another type of lock where they can't force those doors open. There's several suggestions that we can make.
All right. You're listening to Coastline on 91.3 and 98.9 FM. It's a conversation about local crime, what citizens can do to prevent it, and we're going to talk about confronting it when necessary. First Sergeant Nowell of the Brunswick County Sheriff's Office, First Sergeant Montjoy of New Hanover County Sheriff's Office, and Ed Pompey of the WPD are with us today, and they're answering your questions. Do you worry about crime in your neighborhood? Why or why not? Tell us about it on this Thursday. You can call us at 910-343-1138 or email us at coastline@whqr.org. I'm Rachel Lewis Hilburn for Coastline. You're listening to Coastline. I'm Rachel Lewis Hilburn. Today we're exploring how citizens can participate in crime prevention in their own communities. With us today, Ed Pompey, Crime Prevention Specialist with the Wilmington Police Department, Deputy Sheriff First Sergeant Billy Montjoy with the New Hanover County Sheriff's Office, and First Sergeant T.K. Nowell of the Brunswick County Sheriff's Office. And we want to hear from you on this Thursday. Do you have a particular area of concern when it comes to crime prevention? Do you feel safe in your neighborhood? Why or why not? Call us on this Thursday at 910-343-1138 or email us at coastline@whqr.org. We heard from a listener in Wilmington who wants to know if it makes sense to have an alarm system in the home. Is that an effective crime prevention tool? First Sergeant Nowell.
Absolutely. Anything you can do to safeguard your home. If you're going to get an alarm system, make sure it's an audible alarm, the loudest thing that's going to draw the most attention and deter that criminal from gaining more access into that property or doing more damage. Is it going to completely keep them away from it? You never know. If they're adamant about getting something, may just shove that to the side and continue on to what they're doing. But then it's also going to notify a alarm system and get a quicker response out to that property versus you finding it 12 hours later or however after you get off work.
And we also have a question from a listener asking about a dog. And we do have Deputy Boulder with us today. Can we
Boulder.
Say hello
yeah,
to
Boulder.
To Boulder?
Boulder? Can you sit? Can you say hi? Say hi. Come on, louder. Say hi.
Oh,
he's inside, so he wants to be quiet.
Right, so he understands the difference between the inside voice and outside voice, and he just got a treat. Okay, thank you for that. But seriously, how effective are dogs in preventing property crimes? Ed Pompey.
I'll say that pets are great. Dogs, and in particular, they'll bark. They'll notify you. They'll come get you. They can deter the criminal. They can attack the criminal. Any and everything, whether it's a dog, whether it's an alarm system, video surveillance. But yes, dogs are very great, whether it's a big dog or a small dog, because you're going to hear that dog barking. You're going to hear the dog. The dog is maybe in distress. They're going to be a good dog, pet to notify someone that a criminal or an attacker is in the home.
And, you know, someone like Deputy Boulder is trained probably to, if someone tried to harm First Sergeant Nowell, Deputy Boulder would not allow that to happen. But let's say you've got a golden retriever in your home who's the friendliest dog in the world and greets the perpetrator with, you know, tongue hanging out and tail wagging. Is a dog still going to be an effective deterrent? Sergeant Montjoy.
You know, I've seen the smallest dogs seem to have the loudest bark at times. So sometimes it's not all about the bite; it's more about the bark. So as long as they're doing that, as long as they're creating that noise, they're drawing that attention to something potentially happening. We're all about it. I always ask my dog when I go home, "Hey, buddy, did anything happen?" And he never will tell me. That's the hardest part of our job is in crime prevention. You know, we don't really have stats on how much crime we prevent by offering these different programs, by offering the community watches, by asking, you know, our pets, because they just can't tell us. We have no way of knowing. But I agree 100%. Animals, dogs in particular, are great crime deterrents.
And we're going to get to the community watch program in just a moment. But Ed Pompey, you are a crime prevention specialist for the Wilmington Police Department. One of the things that you teach is how to deal with an active shooter. And you have an acronym for that, for some of the steps to remember. Can you tell us about that?
Yes, ALICE, or it basically goes into detail about the different parts of an active shooter or a serious serious critical incident or active shooter, either way, whatever you want to call it. But yeah, the first one is alert, is your first notification of danger. Lockdown or to barricade the room, inform of the actual danger, the situation that's going on, and then counter, whether if you you need to, once you've locked it down, you know, kind of distract the shooter if you're in a situation where you can't evacuate. You know, you can use something, whether it's a cell phone in your hand, it's a stapler at your desk, it can be a book, it can be a shoe. You can do anything to, you know, distract them from, you know, the situation, and then other people could actually run out and get help, or you could all, you know, combat him. You could, you know, take him down or evacuate if you can, if you have a rally point, you know, for where you're going to go to when there is an active shooter situation or a violent critical incident, then yes, just evacuate and get to a safe place or a rally point.
So let's do this with a hypothetical scenario. Let's say that somebody is shopping in a retail establishment in a strip mall, let's say a clothing store.
Okay.
And there are customers in there and there are employees in there, and a shooter comes in. What's the first thing is this something that it would help shoppers to understand in terms of these ALICE principles, or is this strictly like an employee business situation? The employees need to drive the protocols. What's the first thing people need to do?
Okay, I wanted to say you asked me two questions there. So would you want me to ask the employee part first or the shopper?
Okay, sure. Let's take the employee part first.
The employee, nine times out of 10, they have some type of protocol when there is an active shooter. So however they have handled that already amongst themselves at the particular business, they'll handle it that way. If you are a shopper, it all depends on the situation that you're in or however you feel. Some people may freeze. Some people may try to counter the shooter. Some people may try not to get harmed. It's a lot of ways you can handle that situation as far as if you want to evacuate. I would, you're either going to run, hide, or fight. So if you can evacuate, you can do that. That's always a good thing, to get away as far away from the shooter as you can. Hide, you know, get a, you know, don't just be sitting underneath something that, you know, where the shooter can actually see you, so hide. Or if you can lock yourself somewhere in a closet, or just, you know, hide. Or fight, you know, if you feel that you're in a situation to where you have to defend yourself, please do. But you know, don't try to be a hero at the same time. We want everyone to survive safely. But if you do have to fight, yes, use things in your surrounding areas. Whether it's if you're at a business, a shopping mall, yeah, use a hanger, use some props that they have. You know, a man can even use anything if you're in a situation to where you have to fight.
You talked about throwing a stapler, and there's an interesting principle behind this idea of counter. Tell us about that. How does that work?
With counter, it's a way that you can distract the shooter. So if I throw a glass at you right now, you're going to focus on that glass until the point that, you know, if you have a weapon in your hand, you're gonna and it hits you, you can, you know, drop the weapon or get distracted, and then the other people in the room can attack the actual shooter, or you can attack the shooter. It's countering. It's not actually fighting, but it's throwing off that OODA, or your orient, basically your
So you're distracting the shooter.
Yes.
So that the shooter is no longer focused on you as a target, but on this thing that might be flying past his shoulder.
Yes.
Sergeant Montjoy.
One thing just to speak on counter, in the late 80s, President Ronald Reagan, there was an assassination attempt on his life. And when we think of a law enforcement agency that protects, dignitaries, high-level officials, we think of the Secret Service. And the Secret Service, of course, was all around him. And I always ask people, you know, how many bullets, much gunfire was there to prevent the assassination attempt? And the answer is not a single round, zero. Nothing happened. What they did was they actually swarmed him. And that's what Alice offers you to do. He mentioned the counter when you throw something, you throw a glass of water, you throw something to throw off the OODA loop to get that person to take that split second to give you the opportunity to go in and actually swarm them to take them down. Alice is great. As far as in the past what we were taught, Alice is more option-based, where you have more decisions. We're not just going in saying, okay, you can run, you can hide, you can fight. We're going in, we're saying, okay, you need to hide, but at the same time, as you're hiding, you need to barricade the door. Okay, at the same time as you're barricading the door, you need to spread out in the room. All right, also, you need to look for other exits. The purpose of Alice is, of course, to save more lives, and that's what the goal is. And one of the things that I found very interesting is looking at the time to dispatch. People think that you're going to call 911 and help's going to be there, you know, within minutes. When you're dealing with an active shooter situation, the FBI did a study in 2000 to 2013. 69% of the incidents, the incident was over in 5 minutes or less for the active shooter. Some of the incidents were even over 2 minutes or less. So our police going to be able to arrive on scene in time to provide assistance, or is it something that the citizen might have to take it upon themselves? And if they can prevent someone from being harmed, are they going to be able to do that?
You're listening to Coastline. Today we're looking at the role that citizens have to play in crime reduction and prevention, what each of us can do to lessen the chances of being victimized by crime. Here to answer your questions, First Sergeant T.K. Nowell of the Brunswick County Sheriff's Office, Deputy Sheriff First Sergeant Billy Montjoy of the New Hanover County Sheriff's Office, and Ed Pompey, Crime Prevention Specialist for the Wilmington Police Department. You can ask your own question during the live Thursday edition by calling us at 910-343-1138. You can also email us today at coastline@whqr.org. Amy asks, what are the trends for domestic violence crime in the Cape Fear region, and what advice can you give for people dealing with domestic violence? Let's start with First Sergeant Nowell. Are you seeing more domestic violence incidents, or has this always been a part of the landscape?
I think it has been part of the landscape, honestly. I think there probably is correlation, too, also with the drug usage, and we do get reports of it daily. One of the programs that we do offer at the Sheriff's Office is called Rape Aggression Defense. It's a RAD, it's a women's self-defense class. And I would suggest if any lady feels like they need to empower themselves through learning self-defense, that they join the class. And not only do we offer it, but New Hanover County Sheriff's Office offers it as well. And it's definitely an empowering class to teach them how to learn self-defense tactics in case they do encounter or going through a domestic violence relationship where they need to learn to strengthen themselves.
Now, our self-defense classes for women, when I think of domestic violence, I think about a victim of domestic violence mm-hmm. crafting an escape plan. I don't... Help me here. Are those two different ideas, the idea of someone being in a relationship with mm-hmm. someone who's perpetrating violence versus, say, a woman walking to a parking garage okay. by herself and then getting attacked and mm-hmm. needing to have some physical self-defense strategies that she can use? Are those
different things, or do those really come together in terms of the way you address it?
I think they come together in the way we address it in the class, yes.
Tell us how.
Well, we talk about, you know, just self-protective measures that they can do, and if they ever find themselves into a domestic violence situation, how they can escape from that. Now, we don't discuss, you know, make sure you have, you know, documentation if you're going to, or where you want to go whenever you do get free or anything like that. But if a woman is going through those or that situation, she definitely needs to reach out to some local resources that we have, like our Hope Harbor Home, et cetera. Like, have that plan. And that's one of the biggest things about that. It's always having a plan, whether you are just going to the grocery store or if you are in a relationship with where somebody is being abusive.
And for Sergeant Montjoy, I heard recently, and I've heard this in other places, some feminists have actually argued that self-defense classes put on by law enforcement are in some ways a kind of indirect way of putting the focus on the victim, not quite victim blaming, but instead of putting the focus on the perpetrators of the crime. Is that something that you've ever heard? And if so, what would your answer be to that?
I have not heard that. Sergeant Knoll said, that, speaking of the RAD class, RAD is all about empowering women. We have had women that have gone through the class where they have gone through domestic violence issues, and it's all about empowering. You know, you go to a gas station and you're greeted by the clerk. The clerk is not greeting you because, hey, there's Billy Montjoy, I like that guy. The clerk is greeting you because that's a shoplifting deterrent. By making eye contact, by saying that, it's a deterrent. Same thing by empowering women to walk with confidence, walking out of the grocery store with their head up, not looking at their cell phones, not playing Pokemon Go, to walk with confidence. That's what it's about. It's all about empowering women. I promise anybody that goes through the class, if you continue through the entire class, your confidence, no matter where it's at when you start, by the end of the class is through the roof. And I'm speaking from experience. We actually just finished up a class last night. We've got one finishing up tonight. And those ladies do an outstanding job. I guarantee you when they start the class, they say, I can't do this. I can't do this. Well, let me tell you something. Yes, you can. You can do this. It's all about empowering women.
So that's a really interesting element that you point out about this, is that people need to not walk with their faces buried in their cell phones and their heads down. And some people do that, especially in urban areas, because it's a way of not making eye contact with people. And, you know, it's kind of a defensive way of being out in the world. But you're saying that's more likely to make someone a victim?
Just like with the talking about the crimes and talking about making your target hardening your house, when you're walking around, they're looking for the easiest target. They're looking for the weakest target. And by doing some things like that, you know, making eye contact with somebody, by walking with your head up, with your chest out, you know, not trying to give anything away, but one of your most powerful weapons that you have as man, female, is your voice. By being confident and comfortable enough to using your voice, if something happens, by saying no, by saying help, by using that voice and creating that witness-rich environment, that's what it's all about.
And is there anything, I realize this is audio and so it's hard to demonstrate anything, but Ed Pompey, is there anything that you could tell a woman who's listening right now, like one really good move that she could have in her bag of tricks that would make her safer?
First and foremost, she needs to, like Sergeant Montjoy said, walk with confidence. And not only that, I know it's sometimes, you know, to be as welcoming as you can just in general settings, but, you know, just kind of, you know, if it's late at night, you know, try to look a little, you know, not as approachable. Just don't make yourself a target by, you know, having your cell phone in your hand or on the phone. You know, look someone in the face and let them know that you actually mean business. You know, don't, you know, just try to be a hero, but at the same time, defend yourself. You know, don't put yourself in a sticky situation. So, you know, walk with confidence, look them dead in the face. Just kind of have that way of like, don't come over here. I'm just trying to get to my destination. Just walk with that confidence. Have that look on your face like I'm not to be reckoned with.
Bri writes, I was at Greenwood Park a week ago jogging in the morning and I saw a homeless couple yelling at other joggers near the picnic shelters. Are the WPD aware of this? If so, how are they dealing with these incidents? Aggressive folks in the park.
I'll say in parks, you know, you get a lot of problems in parks. It could be, you know, someone just having a, you know, just a bad day, or it could be a vast amount of things. I'll say that, you know, we do get a lot of requests for increased patrolling. They've actually asked, you know, are we going to get foot patrol officers? But we're going to definitely increase our patrolling in those areas. And another thing is to not only, you know, have these things, you know, mentioned during the show, call us and report to us in these areas what's actually happened, when it happened, you know, a description of the person, inform us of any and everything that, you know, that may seem suspicious or out of place. With parks, you know, we can't be, like, actually on foot walking around in the parks, but if you let us know and inform us what park it is, what time of day this is actually happening, we can combat that issue.
Earlier this month, the Star News reported that Wilmington police were looking for a group of four men driving a gray Ford Fusion with out-of-state plates that were robbing people at gunpoint. And in this piece, they talked about several incidents taking place all on a Sunday afternoon. It was really sort of an alarming story that seemed like an anomaly. What can people do to protect themselves from seemingly random crimes like that, being robbed at gunpoint on a Sunday afternoon, Sergeant Montjoy?
Again, just not making yourself a soft target by walking with your head up, by walking with confidence. You know, you can't ultimately prevent everything, like I said, unless you have the wall around your house and you don't go out and you make yourself a prisoner. That's really, unfortunately, the only way. But just appearing to be that strong target, that's going to make the criminal take that second look and say, you know what, I'm not going to mess with that person today. Turn around, and hopefully you won't become a victim.
And is there any update on that case? Do we know if there have been any arrests? Ed Pompey?
No, I don't currently have any information about the actual case, but I can get it for you at a later time.
Okay. And let's move to community watch groups, neighborhood watches. And we will move to that when we come back from this break. You're listening to Coastline on 91.3 and 98.9 FM. It's a look at the way citizens can participate in crime reduction and prevention. We have three members of law enforcement with us. Well, two and a civilian answering your questions on this Thursday, and they're representing Brunswick County, New Hanover County, and Wilmington's Police Department. If you worry about a certain type of crime or have another crime-related question, give us a call on this Thursday at 910-343-1138 or send an email to coastline@whqr.org. When we come back from this break, more of your questions and comments. I'm Rachel Lewis Hilburn for Coastline. You're listening to Coastline. I'm Rachel Lewis Hilburn. Today, it's an exploration of crime prevention through the lens of the citizen. With us today, First Sergeant T.K. Nowell of the Brunswick County Sheriff's Office, Ed Pompey, Crime Prevention Specialist with the Wilmington Police Department, and First Sergeant Billy Montjoy of the New Hanover County Sheriff's Office. You can share your own experience if you've been to the Citizens Academy or ask a question about staying safe on this Thursday by calling us at 910-343-1138 or by sending an email to coastline@whqr.org. This is the last segment, so you have just a few minutes left to get your question in. We're going to go to Community Watch in a second, but Anne from Wilmington called in when we were talking about female self-defense and said, "My father choked my mother to death at age 53. She says, I started a self-defense group in Raleigh, a 7-week course. I think that all public schools should offer a female self-defense class for PE. Is this something, Ed Pompey, as you know, so much of your job is outreach and talking with the community, is this something that you could eventually bring to public schools?
I know as of right now, Officer Jen Rhodes, she handles self-defense classes. I want to say we've had two for women so far. We have a father and son one, and then I think we're having a senior citizen one. So,
self-defense for senior citizens.
Yes, yes, most definitely. But in schools, I mean, you'd have to get with the school board as far as how the particulars would go. But I mean, definitely something in the future we wouldn't mind doing. Just have to get the, you know, the actual, you know, everything written up and how this and that would work. But yeah, I would definitely love to see that happen here in Wilmington as far as in schools. Yes, that would be great.
And while we're on that topic, is there any specific kind of nugget that you can give us, any of you, that makes self-defense for women, that class, different than, say, self-defense for seniors? What would a senior who, you know, might not be at their physical peak need to know? Sergeant Knoll.
Through the certifications that we had, two of our instructors have, we do differentiate the types of mobility that they have. So if somebody is a wheelchair bound, how to deflect strikes on that, or if they have arthritis in their hands, that's, you know, how to target different areas of the body, or using what they have and where they can put it in different situations to be able to defend themselves. So basic class for women is a little more intense, and then on the senior side, it's a little more scaled down, so to work with them, especially their stability.
You're listening to Coastline. We're talking about the role citizens have to play in crime prevention. You can ask your own question on this Thursday by calling us at 910-343-1138 or emailing us at coastline@whqr.org. Marissa from Ogden, welcome to Coastline. You're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
So I called with a comment about a few weeks, or I guess it was probably a couple months ago now. There was the incident in Ogden on Market Street where a man was in an accident, shot into the air, and then fled into the woods after taking off his clothes. And I live very close to that where it happened, and I was just concerned with like the lack of information that was available. Because all that we and the neighbors knew that shots were definitely fired, but we had no way of knowing, like, if this person was in custody, if we should.
If you could leave your houses, is that what you're
correct.
Saying? Like, how you behave being right there near the scene of the crime.
Not being able to get information, calling, like, the news stations or the police department, there really wasn't anything.
That's a really good question. First Sergeant Montjoy, how does the sheriff's office or Wilmington PD handle communicating with the people who might be right on the perimeter of a crime like that?
You know, we do try to use social media with Facebook, with Twitter. I think we even have an Instagram. Getting the information out is key. Sheriff McMahon is all about transparency, and that's what we try to do. We try to push out information as we can. Of course, in some circumstances with ongoing investigations, there's some information that we just are unable to release. But we do try to be as transparent as possible and get the information out in a quickly, timely manner, as quickly as we can.
Any different kind of statement from WPD about how to do that, and particularly in her situation, because she is not the majority in terms of the public? You know, we've got the guy arrested. This isn't what you're putting on the news. This is what's happening for people who are right there in that vicinity.
I'll say just follow up with us as far as social media. Contact us at the department. You can contact me at edward.pompey@wilmingtonnc.gov. I know it's kind of difficult getting in touch with the detective or the officer that was called out to the scene of the incident. It's very hard, just kind of, you know, someone wanting to contact the police department, you know, getting around the actual, you know, whether you may reach an automated service or the wrong department. I'll say with myself, if I have their information or I can get in contact with that person, I will get it and contact you as far as what I can disclose to you. Another thing is to just, like I said, social media, Instagram, Snapchat, Facebook. We actually do a Facebook Live as far as Blue News, and we try to get out information to our citizens. So, we just had an incident the other night where a citizen actually called me, who's a part of one of our community watch groups, and they said, yeah, we saw law enforcement out here at about 4:30 in the morning, and it was just an alarm that had went off, and they just contacted me. I got the information, and I called them back like later on that afternoon and told them, you know, that it was just, you know, it was a false alarm, nothing bad happened. So, just kind of continue to build that rapport with law enforcement by contacting, you know, for instance, we do crime prevention. So if there's someone that you kind of speak to on a consistent basis, just call that person. If you know you have that point of contact, just follow up with them and, you know, just try to give us time, you know, to get the information back to you.
Brant writes, I teach at a local school, and I frequently find myself wondering if we should be moving away from the typical lockdown practice of putting kids in the corner of a room and hoping a door or barricade holds up, rather than immediately trying to evacuate kids by any means necessary. He writes, I know each situation has factors that might alter a teacher's reaction, but I'm curious as to what your guests think and if we're training our students in a practice that actually makes them more vulnerable. Ed Pompey.
I'll say, when you say it's a school, it depends on the ages of the kids. We try not to get younger children, elementary school kids, to actually swarm someone. So, first alert, the first notification of danger. If you can, like I said, barricade that door. Use any and everything. Use cords, use laptop cables, computer cables, curtains, anything, to barricade that door. If it's middle school or high schoolers, if they can, counter swarm the guy. But yes, do lock down and, barricade that door or evacuate if you can. If you cannot, lock down and, barricade that door so they can't actually get inside the door. Make it difficult for them to actually get inside and harm someone.
So often in these school shooter situations, isn't it typically one shooter? I mean, most of the time, Sergeant Montoy.
I'm so glad you said that. Again, talking about stuff we did before Alice, we would say, bad guy comes in door A, well, bad guy B might be outside. The stats that the FBI show us are completely opposite. 98% of the time, there's only one shooter, an active shooter incident. The two times that there has been multiple shooters, the shooters have been no more than 15 feet apart from each other. So
then in a school situation, my instinct would be to break the window and get out of the building and run away from the school. And I think that's what Brandt is asking. Why is that not a reasonable strategy in this kind of a situation? Or is it?
Not being privy to the school's lockdown procedures, I've not actually been to a lockdown where they go through the drill of it. I think evacuation always should be an option. I don't know the layout of this building, but if you have a shooter coming in the front door and we're close to the exit, why can't we just go out the exit? We got to have a plan in place. That's priority number one, and you got to have a rally point where everybody comes to. So at the end, we can all debrief. We can make sure, okay, we can get accountability for everything.
And you are nodding, Ed Pompey.
As far as when he said back to breaking that window, if it's in a situation where there is not a back door or a back exit, making sure that you're breaking that window in the top right-hand corner. Don't break it in the middle, because if you do, it's going to come back at you, that glass. But, another thing, if you're on a second story, if it's more than 30 feet, you don't have anything to tie together as far as curtains, tablecloths, you don't want to, have to jump out a window after you break in the window, successfully breaking it and it's come down. If you have to jump down, you don't want to harm yourself. You don't want to break your leg. You want to break your arm or anything else that could, injure yourself, trying to, we do want you to evacuate, but don't. Yeah, if you're three or four stories up, yeah, that may be a little difficult as far as getting down, unless you got a lot of tablecloths. Yeah, so.
Let's talk about neighborhood watches and community watches. What role do they play for Sergeant Howell in crime prevention?
They play a humongous role in our crime prevention strategies, just because they are the eyes and ears out there. There's more citizens in the communities, obviously, than law enforcement is. So if they see things, they need to report it. The more they document things, calling 911, getting us into the area. If they need increased patrols because there's some suspicious activity, that's going to deter crime from that area. So, yes, they are a imperative part of our community, and having them as a resource is obviously a benefit. But don't be questioning yourself about, should I call 911 or not? If it is suspicious to you and it's making you question yourself, man, that doesn't look right, maybe I should call that. No, you need to go ahead and call that in, because it could be something, going on in the community, and let's go ahead and identify it and get rid of the problem.
And so you're saying you would rather have citizens call 911 and be wrong about there being a problem, mm-hmm, than not calling?
Yes. Perfect example, we had an area in the county where teenagers were going through beating mailboxes one night, just they're unsupervised, and one of our residents heard something, that early in the morning, but I didn't think nothing of it. So I was going to call 911, but I didn't. And here we go. We find, there's been 10 mailboxes damaged the next day. Had we had gotten that phone call a lot sooner, maybe we could have got them in the act.
There was an incident recently in Mallory Creek, which is a subdivision in the town of Leland/Winnebago. The clubhouse there was vandalized by allegedly by a 19-year-old suspect. He was caught on camera. He's since been arrested. Does that neighborhood, is that an example of something? And I think he was caught because there was a camera, and so they were able to pass around an image of the suspect to all the news organizations in the community, and people were able to identify him. But is there anything else that, say, a community like Mallory Creek, and there are many of them now in this region, could do to make to raise their level of security?
Oh, if they're not involved in or in a community watch, establish one. Get your community involved in that. Using nextdoor.com is another resource to use to spread information out that's going on in your community. But yes, community watches are great. Posting the signage up hopefully will deter crime or people coming in there to commit crimes, the vandalism and such. So those are great organizations to start.
If a community wanted to start a neighborhood watch program, they don't have one. For Sergeant Montjoy, how can they start one from scratch? And Ed Pompey, you can weigh in also.
Okay. Well, we just asked you contact the sheriff's office. You can contact me, 798-4245. And we'd be happy to come out. What we do at the Community Watch is we help you establish it. We'll come out as much as you want us to. We'll do a 30-day CAD report, which CAD is our call history, letting you know the type of calls that are going on in your area. Not only that, but also we'll do a CAD report for the surrounding areas, so you kind of know what's going on in your neighborhood. And it goes back to just crime prevention, just being informed, just taking the extra steps to better inform yourself of what's going on in your neighborhood and what's going on around you.
Ed Pompey.
Alrighty, it's a lot of information, so forgive me. First thing, please contact me at 910-343-3945. Try to give me at least a few days in advance so I can get your crime stats in that area for that tract. Get an officer, a sergeant, or a lieutenant to the actual community watch meeting. Your community watch group can be 5 people. It can be 50 people. If you're part of an HOA, mention it at the HOA meetings. And then go from there as far as if you want to have a community watch group on this block or the cul-de-sac, however you want to run it, because you actually run the community watch group. Law enforcement doesn't do it for you. But, start it with the 5 people. You can have 2 community watch captains or 1. I typically tell people to have, 2 captains, like 2 co-captains, or even if you want to have 3. But, have multiple captains so that not one person is just doing all the work, because it is a lot of work. You're responsible for getting that information out, whether it's by the app, just like Sergeant Al said, or if you want to do it by email or Facebook or however you want to run the actual community watch group is, amongst you guys. You, with us, you get 2 community watch signs once you start that community watch group. I believe they're blue and white now, so they're perfect. You can see them. They're good at night, good during the day. Also, you can request increased patrolling. You can contact me, provide you with any and every form, information, pamphlet that we have, whether it's for children, what to do, how to play safe, what to do when you encounter an officer, whether it's for teenagers, whether it's for adults, whether it's senior citizens, just little things as far as safety for community watch groups. If you just want us there as far as presence, any and everything, because community watch groups see a lot of the problems, and they're aware of a lot of the things that we may not be out there 24/7, but they're informing of those small or big issues, and then we can combat everything. And then at the same time, build that rapport with our citizens.
And we will post those contact phone numbers and all of that information on our website at the end of this discussion. Very briefly, you encourage citizens to do ride-alongs in both counties and in the city. Why? What does that teach a citizen for Sergeant Nowell?
We don't do ride-alongs with our citizens. We actually have a citizens patrol, which comes out of our citizens academy, and that's just a mobile community watch that we offer.
Okay. What's the purpose of ride-alongs, Sergeant Montjoy?
Ride-along is to give citizens firsthand experiences what the deputy goes through on a daily basis during a 12-hour shift. Just like with Sergeant Noel said, that we also have a Citizens Academy. We have one starting up August 14th. If anybody wants to join, please give me a call. But you make that available to you. You can do a ride-along now. You don't have to go to the Citizens Academy for that.
And that's this edition of Coastline. First Sergeant Montjoy, Ed Pompey, First Sergeant Nowell. Thank you all so much for being with us today.
Thank you so much.
Coastline's technical director is Ken Campbell. Producer is Rachel Keith. Production manager is Caitlin Hanrahan. Caroline DeVries is our webmaster. Coastline is a production of WHQR Public Media. And let's not forget Deputy Boulder. If you missed part of this episode, look for it at WHQR.org. Get the podcast, find it on the WHQR app, or tune in for the rebroadcast Sunday afternoon at 2. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn for Coastline.